with Altitude Sports on the Jim Davis Show.
And with us right now, the team line. Teams with Chris Marlowe to call the Nuggets on Altitude TV. Scott Hastings joins us. Scott, it's been a long time. Appreciate you coming on this morning.
I know, Jim. It's like you forgot about me. Like you loved me for a while, and then you just forgot about me.
No, Scott, no. We always love you, Scott. We always will. You're a busy man. You got the show on Altitude. You're working with Marlowe. You're a busy guy. I mean, there's a lot on your plate, and it's been at times tough to get you on the program. Not by your own doing, but just by scheduling things.
Well, I tell you what. Your producer has my phone number now, so just keep it and just text me a day in advance and warn me, and I'll come on anytime.
Okay. Well,
that challenge accepted for sure.
Buckeyes got that filed away, so we will hold you to that, Scott, going forward. We'll give you a day's notice. We'll give you advance warning on the whole thing. Nuggets right now with the lead in the Western Conference. Denver, of course, with that win against Memphis the other night, dominating performance where. Certainly, though, when you look at – I want to start the bench, because when Bruce Brown left to go to Indiana, he was such a big part of last year's championship team, Swiss Army knife, and what Bruce Brown could do off the bench, that there was the uncertainty, can this group of young guys, the Peyton Watsons, the Christian Browns, can those guys develop? Brown gets plugged in the starting lineup the other night against Memphis, has 17 points, plays great. This bench really, I think, has started to come together, you know, the last couple of months for Michael Malone.
Yeah, listen, I've been saying all season long here in Denver, and I do a radio show here in Denver too, that the only thing that really scared me about this team was the bench. I think we forget, one, Christian Brown. I don't know if he's ever going to be a guy that you just go out there, and, you know, Bruce Brown could be smooth, and you say, okay, Christian, you know, here comes this smooth, Jazz Christian Brown, right? He's going to come out and get you 20. So I think he can do that, but he's going to be a wrecking ball, Christian Brown. I mean, he's, you know, there's not a lot of smooth to Christian's game, right? So he starts the season with a sprained ankle, didn't play at all in training camp, and I think he was a little behind. And then I think he expected to be, you know, Bruce Brown. He expected to be that next guy and to automatically be better than he was from the season before, and he didn't shoot the ball well, right? And then I think, as every young player tends to do when they don't shoot the ball well, Peyton Watson is kind of going through that a little bit right now. They get in their own head. And then, and you guys know this, when you try not to make mistakes, you're always going to make mistakes, especially as an athlete on the playing field, on the basketball court, on the ice. When you're trying not to make mistakes, it just inevitably ends up in an error. So I think he went through that. But now, also in the last couple of games, and we're going to highlight him on the broadcast tonight, you know, the 17, in Portland, is that who they play? In Portland, you know, coming off the bench, team undermanned, and you're like, great, great. Has to start the other night against a team in Memphis that, you know, decimated with injuries. I call it a good developmental game because the bench really got to play a lot of, you know, important real basketball, NBA basketball minutes, and he played great too. So he's the leader off of that. And no, you know, I can't dismiss Reggie, but Reggie's been starting so much this year with Jamal's injuries that it's automatic. He's, you know, going to be counted on coming off the bench, but they need Christian. I think they need Peyton Watson or Julian Strother in some kind of formation, playing as well as they did in that Memphis game too. Because listen, you probably aren't going to play bench guys 20 minutes a game or 25 minutes a game if you don't have to. You never know about foul trouble, but you don't have to in the postseason. But you're going to have to play them 15, and in those 15 minutes, the bench can't give you a minus 18 points because you're going to lose games.
And also, I think you mentioned Peyton Watson, who, no doubt, Scotty, is incredible defensive talent. The offensive game had to kind of round itself into shape. And it's certainly that's happened for Peyton Watson. His offensive game has improved dramatically. That's no longer maybe the liability it once was with Peyton Watson on the floor.
Yeah, and like I said, he's got to get – he's just got to get out of his own head. And when he goes, like in Portland, he goes 0-for-3, and you can see him all of a sudden he's worrying about missing shots. And again, you know, I've been, you know, from playing and broadcasting, you know, 11 years of playing, this is my 30th year broadcasting NBA games. I've seen a lot of basketball in 41 years. And I've seen guys do this. They miss their shots and they just get in their own head. I'll tell you a quick story. I end up playing with the guy, and I talked to him about this, but a guy named Vinny Johnson, the Microwave, back in the day, right? And he was at Baylor, and we're playing him down there at Baylor, and he goes 1-for-10. I think he was 1-for-10 shooting in the game, or 1-for-11. He missed 10 shots. He finished the game 10-for-21. Right, and so, and I always use this as an example. If he's 0-for-10 at halftime, and all of a sudden just gets his head and hangs his head and doesn't care, you know, one, we probably been by 40. Instead, he finishes the game like you know 10-for-21. He's 9-of-10 in the second half, and now all of a sudden, I think we had to win the game in overtime. Great players learn to not let mistakes, errors, or moments of not acceptable play kind of define who they are, whether it's in a game or in a season, in a stretch, whatever. And I think young guys tend to do it. Peyton's doing that. And he came out of it a little bit in Memphis. Now, when you want to start counting on guys in this league, you've got to do it in a consistent manner. Can't be just one game and then, hey, we'll see you around. You know, in a week when you play another good game, you got to start stacking games, and let's see what 10 or 11 games ago, that Memphis game could be the start of the stack for Peyton Watson.
Altitude, Scott Hastings with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network right now. The Nuggets with the lead in the Western Conference. Nikola Jokic having another incredible season. Does he win the MVP this season, particularly with Embiid's injury? Because it seems like Nikola's just, to me, he would already, even when Embiid was healthy, those two were neck and neck. And now I think Nikola Jokic is clearly the front runner to win another MVP.
Well, I think he should. I think he's the most important player, you know, in the league for his team. You know, most valuable player. It doesn't go for the best scoring player. It's not MSP. It's not, you know, MTSP, most taking shots player. It's the most valuable player. And yeah, he should win it. But I said this 4 or 5 weeks ago. I said there's going to come a time and a push soon where you're going to see everybody, all the national media, all the East Coast media, all the whatever, they're going to find their new guy and start pushing. Well, when Embiid went down, you know, you still hear the rants of Embiid because he's scoring 30 points. But then all of a sudden, you know, now he's not going to be eligible for the MVP. It's like a begrudging, okay, Joker can win it again. But if you've noticed over the last week or two nationally, all the noise is starting to shift to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And that's great. Guy scores a lot of points. He's been fabulous. Oklahoma City is doing a fabulous job. I think the front office should be, you know, executives of the year for the next 3 or 4 years. I think the coaching, they got a really good coach. They're going to be a threat to win championships. But I'm going to take you back to 2 weeks ago. And Shai Gilgeous had a streak of 30-point games in a row. And Oklahoma City is up 22 points against somebody, Memphis or somebody. And ball goes out of bounds. There's, you know, 8 seconds left on the clock. They're up 22. Usually what happens is you put the ball in, the guys just walk it up, blah, 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 everybody starts shaking hands. They throw it in to Shai Gilgeous. He starts sprinting up the floor, gets down there, and lays it up. After the game's over, because he hadn't got his 30 points yet in this game. And to me, and I know nobody wants to talk about it, but that's not what MVP does. That's not who MVPs are. You know, you look at the stats, and I think Joker has 47. It's either 47 or 53, somewhere in between there, games where he misses a triple-double by one digit. And I've seen him. I've seen coaches say, hey, you need a rebound, you need an assist, you need a bucket. And I've seen him on the bench go, no, I'm okay. No, I don't need to go back in. Because the bigger picture is winning games and winning championships, not winning MVP. That's why I said last year, 2 years ago when he didn't win it, last year he didn't win it, he don't care. And so I'll say the same thing. I think the league and the national media will find some way to get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the thing, the MVP. I think Joker should be it. And then when it's all said and done, Joker can just win the championship again and another championship MVP and call it a day.
Yeah, well, we'll take that one. I think if we're going to call all of us, we'll take that scenario. Scott, in a heartbeat.
Right.
And
absolutely. I was saying this to a buddy the other day. I said, listen, the Conn Smythe, I said this, I got hammered by all the hockey fans here. I don't think Kel's having a great, great year. I think he's great, but I don't think he's going to win a Hart Trophy or anything like that. But you know what? Go win the Conn Smythe. Because if you win the Conn Smythe, guess what you do? You just win a championship. Hey, you may not win an NFL League MVP. Go win the Super Bowl MVP. Because it usually means you win the MVP. So, yeah, I think it's great. Early on, there was great recognition. Put Denver back on the map in basketball. Blah, 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 blah. But what we saw last year with championship and a championship parade and an MVP of the playoffs trophy. Okay, there you go. That's the MVP you want.
Yeah, win a trophy with some confetti stuck to it. And to that end, Nuggets half game up in the West. There's that three-team kind of fight between Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and them. I talked about this earlier this week on this show. I don't necessarily know if there's a team out there, especially in the West, maybe only Boston, to where if the Nuggets don't have home court advantage, I really worry about it.
Yeah, I think you take home court because it's always nice. The Ball Arena is crazy, and they've been unbelievable fans, and they've been getting there early, and they get there loud, and they're ready for a little excitement and to cheer their team on. So that's always great. That's always easier to play for. But when I was on a championship team in 89-90, I love what Bill Laimbeer said to us. We had a chance to close out Portland. And he said, boys, let's win it on the road. Let's win this thing on the road because the parties on the road are always better. And so it's kind of twofold. There's nothing. You know, you talk about what do you miss in the league? Well, you miss being the paycheck because I haven't seen paychecks in a long time that size. But what you really miss is the camaraderie of the guys. And there's certain feelings when you play. And the feelings when you can go into another team's building and quiet them and shut them down. Jim, let me tell you, that's one of the great feelings walking back to your locker room there is in sports when you're watching people that are come cheering for the other team walking out their own building. So, yeah, I think they can. And I think, if this team – has a run of multiple championships, they'll have to do that sometime, and who knows, maybe it's this year, maybe it's not.
All right, you can catch Scott later on in Altitude 92.5 on the stream, Plumas, Hastings, and DMAC. I think you should get first or last billing there, to be quite honest, Scott. I don't know. That's just my opinion. But anyway, those other guys are fine gentlemen, good broadcasters. So I just hate to see your name sandwiched between those two guys.
Well, you know what? I would say I'm in the middle, but I think I'm being attacked from both sides, so it's probably appropriate that I'm in the middle, always having to fight them off.
That's good. Yeah, you're the man in the arena taking on those two guys every weekday.
Thank you very much. I'm the man in the arena with them two guys just throwing spitballs from the outside.
Exactly. And you're out there, you got your shield, you got your sword, taking DMAC and Plumas on. Noon weekdays over on Altitude. And, of course, the broadcast tonight with the Nuggets in Phoenix. We'll have Jason Kosmiski on the team tonight at 8 o'clock. Scott, we will make sure it is in the very near future, because we got your number. We've got you on record that we can text you, call you a day before, and get you on the program. We'd love to do it again, man.
Absolutely. If I have nothing going on, I am all in, my friend.
All right.
We got three more months of basketball to talk about.
Exactly. We got plenty of time here. So, Scott, appreciate
it. Well, you know what? I sitting waking up last year in Miami, and I'm going, man, it must be nice in Grand Junction because Jim doesn't want to wake up and call me.
Well, every day it's got a little bit of paradise over here, Scott, to be quite honest. I mean, the great golf courses.
Oh, I know.
It's a little piece of heaven over here. I mean, not the Front Range isn't great, but lately you guys been buried under snow. So,
I spent some time over there. What's the big state-owned or city-owned shooting range you got up over there?
Oh yeah, Cameo, the Cameo shooting complex.
Cameo.
Yeah.
I took a 3-day class up in there, and we stayed right down past it a little bit in the road that had winery all over there.
Oh, yeah.
and great. It was just, I was blown away how beautiful that area was.
Well, you know what? When the Nuggets win another championship this summer, when your season's over, come back over here and spend some time with us. We'd love to have you on the Western Slope again.
Absolutely. Love it. Would love to.
All right, Scott. Appreciate it. We'll get in touch very soon. Have you back on. Always enjoy it.
All right, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.